Ta-da!
Hello, everybody.
What are we going to do a singing intro?
When are we or why do
why
we?
Why do we got to do a singing intro?
Because it's like fun. Oh, I got a song in my heart and a song to sing.
Okay, go ahead. 5, 6, 7, 8.
La, 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 la. And we read Alchemized.
We did read Alchemized. Spoiler alert for this episode. It's so good. It's so good.
Guys, Alexandros' wildest dreams have finally come true.
I was so worried talking to people because some people did not like it as much as Manacled. And I was like, geez, really?
Yeah, okay. I've heard
they were
that
like,
too.
Oh, it might be a bit of a downgrade. I'm like, well, I'll read it and I see. I think it's so much better.
You think it's better than Manacled?
I think it's better. I do. I
what?
Think so many plot points get more fleshed out. I think characters are more delved into. I think it's better. I do.
Wait, okay, this is the first time I'm hearing of this. That's wild.
I do. I did think, like, as an original story, it's better.
That's crazy. I'm so curious to hear. I don't know anyone who's read this who didn't read Manacled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about how that experience is.
It's going to be a more confusing experience, I think.
Yeah.
Because the first time I read this twice, by the way, guys, in the time that, like, we were supposed to read it once and record. I read it twice.
Yeah, crazy.
And it's,
mind you, it's 1,000 pages long.
I binged through this the first time, and then I was like, I should probably really lock in and take some notes. When you see my notes app, guys, it's going to be insane.
It's like essay upon essay. You wrote a novel about this novel.
I'm ready for this. I was like, you know what? We're going to do a little special episode this time. It's going to be a two-parter.
Yes.
And then afterwards, maybe I'll even do a solo episode just following up if we miss anything.
Do your thing, my guy. This is your special interest.
I weirdly got hyper fixated on this.
It's not weird. This has been your thing forever. This has been your thing. This is why we are here, because this is your thing.
Oh, yeah,
because
I got you to read Manacled way back when. I was like, you got to read this.
Yes,
this was the start of the Smut Couch, actually, then.
It's the start of something new.
And we're getting sued. Congrats. Ugh,
that'd be crazy.
Wait, you are?
No. Oh. If she keeps singing copyrighted music, yeah.
Got it.
Sorry.
It's because it sounds just like the professional version, of course.
Sure does.
Hey.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our Divine Rivals episode that we did. And what did you cover on the last one for your solo episode?
I talked about how to get over reading slumps.
That's a good thing to talk about.
Thank you,
yeah.
Because as I've been vocal about, sorry, my hair's like knotted and it's driving me crazy. As I've been vocal about, I went through a really gnarly reading slump. And so I talked about it. And like, I think I had like 4 or 5 different points of things that I try to do. And then I just had a few random things that I needed to talk about and get off of my chest. So then I did that.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll listen.
It was fun.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are cheating on the studio, huh?
Well, it's
just for solo episodes.
Yeah.
We can't meet up to start recording. That's all.
Yeah.
You're cheating on us with other podcasts, so I don't want to.
Yeah, hey, not too much.
We never agreed on exclusivity. So,
yeah, in that case, cheating is my business model.
Oh.
We're in a very polyamorous relationship right now.
Yeah, the other, our fourth is my own microphone that we plug into a computer.
Yeah.
But I think it sounds
kind of good. Thank you, GarageBand. It does, yeah.
Thanks.
And I hide in a closet to record episodes. It's great. It's not as fun as here.
No.
We'd much rather be with you, Solomon.
Yes.
Cool.
And I talk about it. I say, sorry, Solomon's not here for quality control, so.
It's going to be worse.
Yeah.
Well.
I think we should just get into
Let's just get into it right
you're
now.
You're going to
have
stuff to say.
A lot. Yes, it's going to be a bit of a two-parter. Tune in next time for part two. But for right now, let's just start with the content notes for Alchemized by Senlin Yu. Before we do anything else, just to make sure everyone's
page.
On board about
should we what's talk about going on. Really quick what Alchemized is in case these people are just listening to it because they like the sounds of our voice.
I'm so sorry if that's why you're listening, but okay. Alchemized is. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, it is. You seem like you were
okay. Alchemized is the published version of Manacled, which was a Dramione fan fiction that I found out I didn't realize that it was only written in 2018.
Yeah, it was pretty
recent. Didn't realize that it was that recent.
I guess
that's
not
crazy.
Recent anymore. That's almost 10 years ago now.
Hey, shut the hell up with that. But I don't know. I just thought it was AO3 to me feels 2013.
Oh, you thought it was like written way back then. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was just reading up on Senlin Yu because I was curious after I finished it. And then I was like,
2020.
Oh.
Hold on a second.
I was like 2018, then 2020 is when it really like blew up because all of us had nothing else to do. But yeah, this is the published version, reworked
completely.
Situation. Yeah.
I think better.
I'm so shocked by that.
I don't want to like compare it.
Especially because low-key, and I don't mean this to be rude, you're kind of a hater.
Really?
I mean, like, you're not a hater, but I think you are, you have strong opinions, especially about stuff like this.
I'd be critical, like, if I was really like, okay, yeah. I don't know what they were thinking right in this, but.
I take back what I said about you being a hater.
That no, was it can be. I can be a hater.
That was me.
That's okay.
But yeah. I would have thought that you would, I don't know. And I'm not saying I didn't like it, but I just know you have high standards, and so I'm shocked that you like
I was ready to much. Cope with this one. I was ready to just yeah. glad to support.
Yeah.
Like officially Sunland you and everything be like, okay, there's a copy that can be bought. I can yeah. do Audible. I can do all these types of things. Mm-hmm. And then I actually give them money
yeah.
for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
and
glad
so
she's making money.
I was ready to like be reviewing this being like, it was different. It was different, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with things
I'm
being
so
different.
So gagged.
But I, two chapters in, I was locked in going, this is so cool. I want to understand
ask a
everything.
Question?
Yeah.
Again, what's up?
Is it the same author that wrote the fan
same
fiction?
Author, yes. Okay. So it's just say. In an original story now, unique characters published, but following the same framework of the story that they wrote as a fan fiction.
Yeah, cool. Like similar okay. plot points, but just in kind of like 50 Shades of Grey.
Did you ever watch Heated Rivalry, Solomon?
No. That's,
did you hear about it, though?
Yes.
So that was originally, the book was originally a fan fiction based on, was it?
Steve and Bucky.
Steve Rogers, Bucky Barnes fan fiction from yeah. Marvel Avengers.
Oh.
And yeah. that's what it was originally. It was supposed to be fan fiction like that of those two characters getting together, but yeah. the author didn't know how to write fan fiction, so they just wrote it as an original story.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight fan fiction, just reworked. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. The more you know.
I know. Learn something mm-hmm. every day.
We know how locked in you are for all of our episodes, so and you remember them by heart. Like when we covered the Love Hypothesis, mm-hmm. which you remember so clearly,
I do.
That was Star Wars fan fiction,
yes.
technically.
Yep, it was Raylo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We've done yeah. a few Raylos, I think. Actually, I don't remember.
I think we just did the one.
I think maybe just one. I think I've read
guys,
a lot.
Guys, if you got better Raylos, let us know.
I've read a lot of Raylos. Okay, anyways.
So now that's now what Alchemized is, mm-hmm. and...
The film rights have been bought. Did you know that?
Oh my gosh, they have?
Yes.
Please, Sunland Yu, hire me in the movie. Please. Let me act in it. I don't care if it's just as a necrothrall. I don't care.
For real.
Please put me in it.
Mm-hmm. Imagine us as cameos.
Just dead in
necrothrall
there.
Cameos.
Like, yeah, blow me up.
That'd be so everything.
Light me on fire, Luke.
Yes.
So I'll go through the content notes because like Manacle, there are some triggering aspects of this. And if it's not your cup of tea and you can't stomach some of the stuff that happens, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to be for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that things aren't for everyone.
Period.
It's okay for things to happen. And however, if you're okay with the stuff I'm reading, I strongly suggest taking a look at this story because
yes.
it's spectacular, yeah. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So here are the content notes from the author. Alchemized is a work of dark fantasy containing wartime violence, religious abuse, depictions of complex trauma, suicidal ideation, self-harm, human experimentation, medical torture, eugenics, cannibalism, sexual assault, rape, and allusions to necrophilia. Please remember that depiction is not authorial endorsement. Because Alchemized is told in third-person limited point of view, it necessarily involves some distortions of vision, as well as missed or misconstrued events. Reader discretion is advised.
Sorry that I giggled. It's just crazy when you
yeah,
read
when,
it all
when
out
the
like
list
that,
just keeps on going.
I'm like, oh shit. We sound
sometimes
like sadists.
We sound awful. I know. It's and that's this is the thing that I hate so much about how good this is, how good yeah. Manacled is that I have to sell it past that point. Like, no. Listen.
It's good. Tale, but it's good, we promise.
It's so good. And I'm not going to lie. I'll talk about it when we get there. Suddenly they really had me going with this one.
Yeah.
Where I thought some aspects from Manacled weren't going to be transferred over.
Yeah.
And then they still did. And I was like, come on.
They ate.
Oh, brother.
Okay, take it away. He's leading this episode because this is his thing. Go ahead.
He's going to be swiping through.
I'm going to be here for the commentary. I have read it. Don't worry. But he has the mind of a computer. So.
My first note I have is let's fucking go in all caps.
Hello.
Just get that ready. So we start off our story. Very much so. I'm going to try not to compare it to Manacled throughout about like
yeah.
what the comparisons are into it, unless it's relevant.
Yeah, valid.
To it.
That's what I was thinking too.
Okay, good. Because yeah. I do want this to be its own standalone thing.
Yeah.
You do not have to read the fan fiction to understand this story.
Yeah.
And I strongly suggest if you're not a fan of fan fiction, I don't know what you're doing here if you're not a fan of fan fiction, but hey, welcome.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
Read this as a standalone and yeah. you can thoroughly enjoy it. So it starts off with our main protagonist, Helena, sitting in a little thing called a stasis pod.
Yeah.
In the dark, absolutely nothing, with an occasional electrical shock going through her body. Kind of weird. I was like, okay, all right.
Literally Project Hail Mary.
And, you know, opens up, bright light shining in, and the guards taking her are like, oh shit, she's awake. What's going on? You're not supposed to be awake during this. That's crazy.
Yikes.
And she's immediately thrown into, like, you know, a little hospital room from all that.
Yep.
Her entire time in there was talking about, you know, waiting for someone, something's going to come get her. She's got to survive for some reason.
Yes.
That's it, you know? Who could that possibly be? What could possibly be happening? We are first introduced to somebody called Healer Stroud at this moment, who is just awful.
No, she's the worst.
I know I just said I wasn't going to compare it to Manacled, but Stroud and Manacled, not as bad as Stroud and Alchemist. They really flush her out. Yeah,
I agree.
It takes a whole turn where I'm like, oh my God, this person's just even worse than like it's implied that she's awful in Manacled, but like,
yeah,
it's much more apparent here.
And I think it's because, and I don't want to bring up like the character to character comparisons, but I think there are points where they have to flesh it out more because we don't have the background hatred for specific characters. Already.
Yes, yes, yes.
So in order for it to have the same effect with what she does and what on all of that, we have to be told why hate her.
Yeah. It has to be very apparent.
Yeah.
And Stroud's entire character throughout this story is one of, she's a fraud for starters. She's a complete fraud. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's a complete moron, I think, but she's just the last moron left out of everyone else. So she gets to just rise her way to the top of the alchemy boards.
Yes.
And it's very much so that she despises Helena for reasons that we'll get into.
Yeah.
But can't admit it and takes like weird sick pleasure while taking it from the stance of, I'm not involved. Don't worry. This is just how things are. You're being silly. And it's so inhuman the way that she treats other people.
Yeah.
It disgusted me.
Yeah, you seem really
pissed off about this. Sorry. Because there are later parts that I want to talk about when she keeps doing stuff. But we start finding out about this new magic system, which I'm always a slut for.
I know, right?
Like, ready to go. Right,
I love it. Especially, it's kind of weird because I just read Babel, which also is like alchemy like metallic. Okay. Yeah. So it's like weirdly something that's been top of mind recently.
What basis of like alchemy stories do you have? Is it just Babel?
Just Babel.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a great anime that I kept thinking of while reading this called Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Heard
and
of
it's
her.
One it's one of the best ones, but they do very similar things. So I knew about Homunculus, Chimera, and Philosopher's Stones.
Oh, see, yeah. That's all new.
Stone of the Heavens, as they call it later on. But so I was like, understood that. It's good.
Yeah. Another thing, to be able to create, to have the story that you've written years ago, might I add, and then to be able to transform it with the new magic system because, we were so used to that other magic system, to then have to build a new one.
Yeah.
Crazy. And impressive.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's not technically magic. Don't come at us.
Alchemy.
It's just
you know what I mean.
Power system. How about that?
Yeah,
okay, there we go.
Sorry.
No, because I was saying magic system too.
Yeah.
But alchemy in this story is based off of alchemical arrays, resonance within your body that you can naturally have from exposure to this thing called, is it Lumithium or Lunithium?
Oh, I can't remember.
I did the audiobook twice, guys. Sorry. I think it's Lumithium.
Lumithium? Yeah, I think it's Lumithium.
Okay. And it's essentially the closest thing that I can compare it to is some type of radioactive metal, I think, just to keep it more based in some type of reality with it.
Yeah.
It's a very special metal that can, if enough exposure to it, can develop your resonances to develop these types of powers against primarily metals. However, there are several specific types that are unique, such as pyromancy, which is the controlling of fire. And our key one throughout the story is Vivamancy, which is the alchemical power to like control another person's body and its healing and its vitality, all those types of things. There's another one called Animancy as well, which is, it's specified to the mind, but it's primarily the soul, I believe.
Yeah.
That's what it's controlling. It's controlling the pathways that your mind can take and your true being are. And then necromancy, which is a subsect of vivomancy, which is bringing bodies back from the dead.
Crazy.
Now, welcome to the Smut Couch, guys. We're doing a deep dive into power systems now. So in the nation of Palladia, or New Palladia, as it's currently being called, vivomancy was always viewed as a corruption of alchemy, according to the main religion where they worship the sun god Sol and the two lunar goddesses, Lunithia and Luna. Mm-hmm. There was an earth goddess called Tellus as well. I can't remember what the fifth god's name was.
Oh, girl, don't ask me.
I wish I could, because I was really keeping an eye out, but I can't remember if it was ever mentioned. I got 4 out of 5, though. That's a B. That's great. We'll take it.
If it was Luna, I couldn't find it in the book.
You're good. So, all that to say, Helena was a warrior for the Order of the Eternal Flame. Not a warrior, a healer. Oops.
Lumithium.
Lumithium? M?
Yeah. M.
Perfect. That's what I thought.
Like Lumo.
No, no. No, there's Luma. Preset for this stuff. It's all original. Shoot, I don't know where I'm going with this, guys. Sorry, I came in so prepared. Now I'm like, I don't know what to talk about.
Well, and there's a character, Luke. Just talk about Luke.
Yes. And so the whole background is Luke Holdfast, the son of Apollo Holdfast, was the principate of this nation, meant to rule it. It was kind of like a holy oligarchy in a way.
Yes.
Where you had the alchemy guilds who were all in charge of different resonances, like different metals. So you had iron, copper, et cetera.
All that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they all kind of ruled one aspect, while the church, quote unquote, which was ruled by the principate, ruled this other stuff and controlled the Alchemy Institute, which is where a good chunk of the story takes place. It's this big old tower where they teach students different forms of alchemy, and you keep on raising.
Yeah, and shit's hit the fan.
Shit hit the fan a while ago. The shit has fallen off the fan now. Yeah. It's over. And they lost. The good guys lost. This guy showed up with necromancy and was like, hey, I'm going to grant immortality to anyone who joins up. And there was a huge revolution. Yeah. The principate got killed. Luke led a whole rebellion. And they all lost.
Yes. And Miss Thing is here confused. Like, what is going on? Miss Helena is
like, oh my gosh, the last thing I remember is everyone losing. Stroud, while doing her vivomancy, because now vivomancy is not a frowned upon thing.
Yeah.
Starts looking and going like, girl, what happened to your brain?
Yes, her brain's
something's wacky. Going on up here. And she actually gets excited here for the first time, going like, yo, okay, let me explain this to you. Probably don't understand this because you're just a stupid little foreigner. Mm-hmm. Her words, not mine.
Thank you for saying.
Yes. And this is when you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Racism. That's nifty.
I know. Yeah,
there were so many moments where I was like, whoa, that was a weird curveball to throw right out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Of them constantly looking at Helena because she's from a different nation called Etrus.
Yes.
Which is basically Greece.
Oh.
That's how I interpreted it. Okay. They got donkeys and olives, olive skin and curly black hair. That's Greece.
Okay.
We have donkeys. We have olives.
Okay. Word.
We love those things.
That's funny.
I'm claiming it.
Okay. And she's already at Spirefall, right?
No, she's at Central right now.
Oh,
she's
This is
what is remaining of the Alchemy Tower.
Right, Central.
And she sees other people that are around. Her friend Grace with cuts all over her face, and she essentially tells her, "Hey, everyone's dead.
Yeah,
Lila Bayard, your bestie, she's dead. The High Reeve has killed them all." And when I read that High Reeve, I was like, "We're so back."
I know, me too.
We're so back.
I was like, "Yes,
let's go." All the staff in this institute are undead now. Yeah. Necrothralls. Because this group of elites now called the Undying, who work for the main guy called Morrow.
/ the High Necromancer.
High Necromancer. Baller name, by the way. I got to give credit where credit
is. No, I agree.
Like, okay. All right. Bro knew how to give good names to himself. Yeah. And the whole brutality of it was like very interesting because I like how it just would, in the sense that it doesn't shy away from it. It just does stuff. And I go, oh my God. And like, I have like a reaction to it, which I always like. I like having a reaction when I read stuff.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
Call me crazy. I like feeling things when I read, even if they're not good things.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. This doesn't shy away from the darkness.
No. Hence the trigger warnings at the start. Yeah. So the under uses staff, her friend Lila Bayard, who was the first paladin to Luke, was killed, stuffed in paladin armor, and put outside to guard everything dead with like a stake put in through her prosthetic. Instead of a prosthetic leg, she's missing a leg, which I thought was an interesting character design.
Yeah.
Just to post her up out there.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But it's so brutal.
It's so brutal. It's so rough. All mm-hmm. the death and everything like that. You see in her flashbacks, her Lila Baird's parents essentially being killed and eaten alive and stuff like mm-hmm. that because they make her dad a necrothrall to eat her mom. And I'm like, what? Whoa.
I know.
First chapter, by the way. Yeah. First chapter.
No, it's crazy.
Insane. It's such a good read, guys. You're going to have such a great time reading it.
The smile on your face.
It's so good because it's so good. Just get past this. Just get past this guy. Yeah, Trust me. Yeah. It's so good. We hear a mention of the High Reeves monster.
Yes.
Which I went, okay, mm-hmm. monster. Unfamiliar with what that's about. Because once again, I had the context of being able to relate certain characters and certain plot points back to the fan fiction.
Yeah.
Her friend Grace says something along the lines of that people are offering good money for eyes these days.
I know. I said,
For alchemy experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up eyes. And eyes don't grow back. If you lose that, they can't really regrow an eye. Because vivomancy can heal a lot of things.
Yes.
It can't really regrow limbs, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it can stitch everything back together that your body can naturally do.
I would like some of that.
That'd be good. It'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Just don't go for the ominous toll.
I know. Ooh, the toll.
The toll. I was like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Because... since Grace was fighting with the Order with Helena, she now has to, like, find ways to support her family and everything like that so they don't get executed.
Yeah.
And the other choice is
giving up your eyes. I forgot to put my earrings in. I'm sorry. Continue. I'm going to put my earrings on. They're in my pocket.
You've had your earrings on the entire time. Solomon,
I know. Sorry.
You're going to edit them all in
Sorry.
Post,
no, I'm
right?
so sorry. Keep going. I literally touched my earlobe when I said,
oh, my gosh. And it's that or work in the Lumithium mines, which they have a bunch of necrothralls doing to mine this super valuable ore that makes other metals easier to use resonance on.
Yeah.
Essentially, to shape it however you want, to turn
so
it into different
cool,
things.
So cool, by the way.
Such a cool
when they're later on, when there's that dagger that like changes into different things, I was like, oh,
that's
hell yeah.
Fight. The fighting is so cool in this, and I'll get to it when we get to part two.
That was just crazy.
But no, it's...
I'm like, give me one of those.
If they make this movie...
That better be cool.
Better be
as
so
hell.
Cool. Dare I say, animate it? Dare I say?
Yeah.
So she is then brought. Helena is then brought to Morrow, the High Necromancer.
Oh yeah.
And when she sees him, she says something that I immediately locked in on. That it looked like he had too many bones.
Yeah,
I was like, that's such an
so
odd
gross.
Description mm-hmm. for the way that they bring
Good
him through
setup.
His different stuff. Of he's got this hulking mass where all of his joints are kind of going the wrong way. But he's
General
just
General Grievous looking ass.
Yeah, literally. He's kind of probably got that size under like his cloaks and robes.
Yeah.
This description of this guy was so cool.
Yeah. Horrifying.
And like she's
so
like,
cool.
He was just a dude before. Why does he look like that now? And it's more foreshadowing for what
the
happens.
The foreshadowing
later.
Is so good in this. It's crazy.
It's so good. That's why the second read hurts so much more than the first read, by the
I
way.
I believe you.
I had to take several breaks while reading it the second time because having the full context of everything. I didn't want to keep reading.
No,
but you
I
should
know.
Keep reading, guys. It's so good. Yeah. they bring in this guy called Shiseo, who I immediately clocked. And I was like, the comparison here is that he was what Snape would have been, essentially, for several parts.
Yeah.
They split up so many characters. There's no one-to-one comparison for the most part.
Yeah, but
apart from
a
like
few,
the main
really.
Three. Mm-hmm. And he's a foreign alchemist from the East, from the Eastern Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And... I screamed a little bit internally during this
Did
part
you?
With the description for the manacles. They have some on her. They take these ones off that mute her resonance a little mm-hmm. bit. They have this weird special ore in them that like limits it.
Yeah.
And this time they have resonance drill holes through her wrist.
Through her wrist. I know.
We
horrifying.
Already give the trigger warnings. You can't be upset.
Yeah. All the way through the wrist.
All the way through the wrist.
I got to chill down my spine.
And they put a little tube of the ore that limits resonance and
Crazy.
Clasp it back around.
Crazy.
Oh my God. God.
I was like, hey, what if I vomited right now?
I got chill. I was like, oh my God.
Me yeah, me too. Shiver down my spine.
But once again, I like stuff like that. That makes that stuff that I didn't think of.
It's just so smart.
Uh-huh. And
it
I'm like,
really
yeah,
is.
That's a good way to like really make sure that you can't take these things off.
Yeah.
It limits everything else. Mm-hmm. We are introduced to the warden of the prison or overseeing these types of things called Mendel. Mm-hmm. Can't remember her first name right now. I have it later on in my notes somewhere else. And Mendel essentially hid where Helena was because she wanted her to suffer for reasons undisclosed that we'll get into. And was essentially like, yeah, I put her in stasis and I didn't knock her out for stasis, because the reason they put bodies in stasis is so that the undying can have fresh bodies to use for multiple purposes.
Yeah.
And the main one is that, we'll get into it here with Mendel, is because he finds out that Mendel essentially hid this person and now Helena has information stored in her brain that they can't get to.
Yeah.
Mendel essentially royally screwed the pooch on this one. And Mendel's like, I the second that we needed her, I found out where she was. And Mora was like, yeah, I specifically said that, like, we needed to keep her for questioning and stuff like that. You see how we can't question something she doesn't know anymore? Silly little
Idiot.
Girl. Give me your core. Reaches inside her chest, rips out a little sliver of metal.
Yeah.
Which is her core, her Lumithium core that the Crazy. Undying have, that essentially is their soul, their entire being, in a tiny little speck of metal.
Yeah.
And then he puts it inside of a Necrothrall that's standing nearby. And now Mendel is inside that rotting corpse.
Heinous, by the way.
So that's why they keep the fresh bodies around, so that they can kill that body, and it'll be a fresh body, easier for them to sustain and
maintain. It's literally a SIM card.
With their soul. Literally.
It's a SIM card. They're like, new model.
And I get the appeal of the promise of immortality that he offered them.
Yeah.
I coat, you know, I give you this, this becomes you, and you live on forever. Because their main bodies will keep on healing forever.
Right. Except,
not forever, but... it's essentially immortality. They can regrow limbs, break all the laws of physics that alchemy places on things.
Right.
And they'll do fine. But the second they lose their real body, their core has to be put into something else. And then they kind of lose all their dexterity. And it's like...
Oh. It's, and then they're just zombies.
A lich, which is a fun word. They're about to go rip into her brain, essentially, right then and there. And it's like... The High Necromancer's like, I'll find out. I'm an animancer. I can find out what's going on in her brain. And she was like, I heard about so-and-so-and-so could so-and-so. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And she was like, oh, I heard about this girl called Elaine Boyle, who was going to potentially heal Titus Bayard with this thing called Mithridatism, which is what's used for poisonings and stuff like that, but with mind healing.
Yes.
And Morrow goes, interesting, Shiseo. I like this guy. This guy's pretty good. Mara's like, why didn't you tell us this earlier? A lot of things were talked about, my lord. Whatever. And Mara just like, all right, that's good enough. Which I thought was such an interesting description of their interaction.
Yeah, it was wacky.
Literally, it says something about like, Mara seemed to find this to be an acceptable answer.
So I was like, yeah, okay.
All right. I was like, Shiseo just must be that guy. And throughout the series, he's just that guy of just being full competence throughout the wazoo. That he's
everyone's
like,
just not questioning.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I guess if he doesn't see a problem with it, then there must not be a problem with it. Mm-hmm. But Elaine Boyle was the main recorded healer and vivomancer for the Eternal Flame.
Yes.
Which Helena thought was weird because Falcon Matias, one of the top guys of the hospital ward, he's like a full... What is a falcon again? It's like... Essentially a bishop, I guess, is
something
the closest thing.
Something
up there where this guy thinks he's the Pope of everything. And he's all like, a vivomancy is a crime against humanity and you can only use it by purifying your soul to heal others. But I hate Helena Moreno so much. Bro was a D1 hater throughout the wazoo. Probably single-handedly responsible for the Order losing, dare I say.
Oh, wow.
That's why Helena thinks it's weird, because this guy would never have wanted anything recorded with vivomancy.
Yeah.
So why is there so much with Elaine Boyle? I don't remember anybody by that name. And Stroud is so convinced, like, and this is something to her, one of her many limitations as a character, which not a bad thing, but it's like an intentional limitation on her.
Yeah.
Is that Stroud would rather believe someone else is an animancer adjusting her mind than Helena being capable of doing it to herself, which is the very clear, reasonable reaction to what's happening.
Yes.
You figure out that she's an animancer and everything like that, and she did it to herself, which is easier than somebody else going and doing it to someone else.
Yeah.
As they establish later on. So Helena throughout this entire series is going to be constantly undervalued,
underestimated.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Underestimated. And kind of looked down upon, despite the fact that she is so capable and so kind and willing to help throughout every trial and tribulation she endures.
Yeah.
It's kind of everyone else's undoing and her own in many different aspects.
And I mean, it just really drives home the ending.
Yeah, it really
does. You know
what I'm
saying?
Yes, yes. So Stroud despite her proportion, her proclamations of vivamancy is an ideal thing. You could have been so talented with us if you had joined us and everything. What a waste and everything. She still is ingrained in the Palladian racist ideology that they're all ingrained with. That,
right.
Well, she couldn't actually do it, though. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the contradiction of their high and mighty attitude.
Yeah.
The same thing that the Holdfast technically had as well.
Yeah.
Dare I say, I kind of really liked how there was no good side. And there's a clear bad side. There's a clear bad side. It's the people raising people from the dead and murdering babies.
Yes.
Those are the bad guys, guys.
No, I understand what you're saying. And I do love it in a story when you can see that the good and the bad, or the protagonist and the antagonist, whatever you want to call them, when they both have the same, like, what is that word that you learned in school? Like folly, like,
foils.
No. Oh. Like the heroes, like they both have the same,
fall.
Kind of. Yeah. Like the same thing that is their own demise. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
In like
yes,
the hero
yes.
story, Greek. I don't know.
Greek.
You should fucking know it. Like
it's the hero's journey, and it's
I don't know.
Fatal
you know
flaw.
What I'm talking about. Fatal flaw. Yeah. I knew it was an F.
Yeah.
Fatal flaws.
Guys, we're
heel,
so smart.
I guess.
We went to school.
Yes, long time ago.
We're only on chapter two. Jeez.
Okay. I know.
Sorry. No, well, that's because I'm setting up a bunch of stuff too. But that's the end right there. So they need to take her to another animancer who has the time to do that type of stuff. Because Mara was like, my animancy isn't delicate for stuff like that. I'm going to rip through her mind. The High Reeve could probably do it. She then is sitting waiting to go over to whoever the High Reeve is. She's still sitting in Central while other talks of a new program are starting up. And I was like, okay.
Boop, boop, boop.
However, Helena should be good. She was forcibly sterilized when she first became a healer because healers have to be eternally like virgins and stuff like that, and cannot procreate because they don't want vivamancy spreading, essentially.
Right.
So that's it. And Falco Matias, may he rot in hell, was like, yep, we're gonna do some surgery on you to make sure that you can. I'm like, geez.
I know, it's crazy.
Insane.
It's bonkers. But, once again, showing that there is bad on both sides.
Mm-hmm. She's remembering things that Luke would say to her, that like they were going to travel the world and she was so talented that her name would be remembered forever.
Oh God.
Ah!
Hey, I'm pissed.
Sorry. No, I'm pissed. Really, like, went,
and
oh.
I, even though I've only read this once, having known the famous ending line, it just is like,
I put so many quotes. That's what a lot of the millions of notes that I have in here are, is that it's just quotes that I was like, I hate that.
I know.
Or I love it, but I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
You know? This guy named Jan Crowther appears, and for a second she's like, oh my gosh, Crowther, what are you doing here? I didn't know you that well, and then she realized, oh, there's a lich inside this body.
Yeah,
this is a corpse.
He's dead.
And she's like, phew, thankfully it's not someone that she'd known well.
Oh.
And it was just some guy.
That sucks.
Because, you know, a lot of members of the Eternal Flame were powerful alchemists and everything, so those bodies need to be used by the undying now after they've lost their original ones, because that's the most useful thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get into the description of the city overall, which I thought was such a cool description. Did you grasp anything? They have these sky bridges. It's just a bunch of towering spires, essentially, mm-hmm. like a city landscape completely, with different bridges and everything connecting
it's
to each
crazy.
Other. The way everyone fought was, if you've ever seen Attack on Titan,
haven't
3D maneuvering gear, or you watch Legend of Korra by chance? Oh, how the metal benders move around and stuff like that. They essentially metal bend the wires that they have and everything like that, just to swing around and everything.
Cool. That's really cool.
And that's how I was gathering how people were fighting, because they talk about the rappel equipment and stuff like
that.
Yes,
that's what I had gathered too. I just didn't have the reference.
And I wish we had gotten to see a little bit more of it. Obviously, there's so much that happens in the story that being like, oh, I wish we got to see more. That makes me go, how much bigger could this book have possibly been?
It couldn't, to be honest.
But that's how good it is that I'm like, I could read more.
Yeah.
Somebody that she knew named Penny, who was one of Luke's paladins, appears in a wheelchair, missing a leg, and tells her, you were right. We should have listened to you. You were right.
Mm-hmm.
To Helena. And Helena's like, what could that possibly have been about? Yeah. Crazy. But throughout this, she's the whole time, she's like, she couldn't explain why she feels this need to hang on and survive.
Yeah.
There's some reason why she's like, I can't die. Because every time she's like, what if I killed myself? No, I can't do that. I gotta, yeah. Wait, why do I gotta live?
Yeah, she keeps forgetting and then kind of remembering.
And, you know, mental health is a serious thing, so don't take what I say seriously as a relation to you. In her situation, I would get it. I would get it. Right. Be like, all right, maybe we pack it up here, guys. Yeah. I would see the need to pack it up. All right, everyone's dead. They won. They want something in my head. Well, it's, I shouldn't let them
she's
get
a weapon.
To it. Yeah.
Like at this point.
All right, mm-hmm. Let's.
Yeah, I get it.
Big building here.
Mm-hmm.
She gets taken by Stroud in a little lorry all the way out to this house in the countryside. Big old mansion, Spirefell.
Yes.
Which is on the cover right here.
Gorgeous.
Oh, good. The shadow's hitting my bicep just so perfect. Oh, you changed camera angles. Dang it.
Look at that.
Sorry.
Keep going. You have to keep going.
Spectacular artwork. I loved this cover so much.
It's gorgeous.
What are the main colors that come to mind when you think about this book now?
Red.
You're thinking of red always?
Red.
Interestingly enough, dark. I was thinking of a more... like gray bronze, like rusted color. I know that's what the cover is right here, but like Manacled, I think black and white as like a visual medium for it. This I'm picturing like just washed out colors.
Like sepia tones?
Maybe. I don't know what sepia is, but.
Oh. It's like The Wizard of Oz, the beginning when it's black and white, but it's like kind of brown like that.
A little bit less than that. Still clearly colored, but just everything so washed out to the point where it's kind of like nearly black and white. I guess sepia then. Yeah.
I like it.
That's okay, just an interesting transition. Yeah, moving. We're good. We're right on track. We first meet Aurelia Ingram,
mm-hmm.
who, love that name, by the way.
Great
Aurelia,
name.
Spectacular great name. Name. Love her character design, the green bone dress that she's got on.
Oh, hell yeah,
him,
I want that.
Greeting them all. Spectacular. She ate.
Cunty,
I hate to say
no,
it,
cunty.
She ate.
She is a cunt and she's cunty.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Two things can be true, guys.
Yeah.
And... we first meet this guy with silver hair standing out the window.
Finally,
said,
37 minutes in.
I know. I said, hi, Draco.
Yeah.
What's up? Aurelia says something like she's not even Paladin. Mm. And just more things that like, it's just so ingrained for these other nations stuff like that about how elitist they all are about everything. That Paladins are the ones, despite the fact that a lot of their great alchemy ideas come from the transfer students and everything.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Kane selling, his name is Kane Farron.
Killer name.
Silver hair. Love it.
Killer name.
Spectacular time.
Yeah.
Some howling in the distance that sounds like wind.
Ooh.
It wasn't wind. And he says that to her, like, there's no one left for you to save. Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Give it up. And like, he's so fed up with her already.
Yeah.
In her head, she hears who she thinks is Luke saying, just live, Helena. And while she's there, at Spirefell, like the next day, she realizes she's afraid of the dark.
Yeah.
Any dark spot throughout the room from all her time in the stasis in the complete darkness.
That's so horrible.
She's afraid of that dark right there.
Yeah.
And that's a switch up from the agoraphobia from the original story right there, which I was able to relate to this one a little bit more of the dark. And we were talking about this before we started recording.
Yeah.
You're afraid of the dark.
It's not that I'm afraid of the dark. I just am afraid of spooky spaces.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I'm fine, like, at my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I just have had to be in a space recently that is kind of old and, like, spooky.
Yeah.
That's why I get scared.
Haunted.
I run through it.
Solomon was telling us, apparently, bookends are one of the most haunted things out there. Is that right?
That's my guess, yeah.
That's your guess? Oh, okay.
Guess. Right.
Educated guess. Sure.
I guess we'd believe anything you'd say.
But anyway, her knee-jerk reaction while being in this new situation is to figure out what makes Kane tick.
Yeah.
Interesting. As we'll find out later.
Yeah.
So the eight metals are corresponded with the eight planets that they're aware of.
Yes.
Lead is Saturn. Tin is Jupiter. Iron is Mars. Copper is Venus. Quicksilver is Mercury. Silver is Luna, the one moon. And Lumithium is Lumithia, the other moon.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are two moons. And gold is Sol, the sun obviously. So she's just having nonstop nightmares while here. She's seeing Lila come out of the darkness.
Scary.
There's a moment. She keeps having flashbacks to what made Luke so great. And she remembers how Luke would sometimes take her to escape the river sicknesses in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key aspect to Luke's character right there. That even when things are going wrong, his first reaction is to not deal with it, if that makes sense. Even as if he were the leader in the Principate, he wasn't. Present. And I'm not saying he had to be present helping everything like that.
Right.
But he Luke is a problem in my mind.
Period. Speak on
it. He is the worst possible choice they could have had for a leader, despite how good of a person he was.
Yeah. Because
he was good, not great, if that makes sense. He had all the qualities to be great and instead chose to not be. Every choice he made was to the detriment of the order. And this is a key aspect right here where he would take Helena down to his country house and everything like that when everything was going bad in the city. Because his knee-jerk reaction was not dealing with anything.
Grade A avoidant issue.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm the same way.
Oh, really? No, for real. That's why you shouldn't be principate.
Just like me, for real. Yeah.
Aurelia does a cool thing with, like, her iron resonance that she has. Because iron resonance is rare. Iron resonance is a tough thing. The Farron family built everything they have by figuring out a way to alchemize iron into steel.
Cool as hell, by the way.
Yeah, and they just became rich off of it. Mm-hmm. She does this cool thing where she has, like, these rings, and she does, and all of a sudden, like, they're sharp. And I thought this was so funny that Helena goes, like, girl, that would break your hand if you stabbed anyone. She's I'm like, that's girl. Period. Okay.
Showing how smart she is.
More hallucinations. Luke being like, I'm dead because of you.
God, that's so scary.
And it's true.
Yeah.
He is. Mm-hmm. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Mendel is forced to come along and attend other meetings because the whole point of her being there is for Farron to do the animancy on her brain little by little so that brain fever subside and he can enter her mind and figure out what she knows.
Yes.
What she's hiding. Mm-hmm. Fix the pathways in her brain. Etrus, donkeys and olives. I wrote it down. Etrus, donkeys and olives. That's what it's like. That's where she's from. She has so many scars that she doesn't remember and seems like trained to overlook. Because even when she was like looking at her butt, she hadn't noticed them until they were pointed out to her. And they're finally mentioning the breeding program in the paper and everything like that.
Yeah.
So some world building right here. Lumithia is the brighter. I think it's Lunithia for the moon, though. Is it? Lumithia?
Let me look it up.
I don't know.
Go on.
Lumithia is the brighter moon, and Luna is the smaller moon that really messes up the tides and everything. There was this thing called the Great Disaster years ago where I'm assuming either a meteor hit or a chunk of the moon broke off.
Luna and Lumithia.
Lumithia with an M?
Yeah.
Okay. Where either a chunk of the moon broke off or a meteor struck, creating a second moon and just destroyed so much stuff of the planet.
So crazy. Mm-hmm. And cool, by the way.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Bummer, but it also makes the tides awful because there's a second moon that just messes with everything, so that deals into their mythology and everything.
And they also, both of the moons also mess with
their resonance
that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
So yeah, it's interesting how they're connected to the tides like that. Mm-hmm. So it leads me to believe that the Lumithium that we have or something is connected to the moon.
Yeah.
Or it's either it's from the moon or the second meteor that hit was radioactive and it's affected with the moon as well, whatever.
Right.
It's okay not to know everything. She realizes that she's been having seizures and stuff like that, which is weird because she didn't even remember having seizures. But they're like, yeah, you've been having seizures. Stroud, just being the worst again, she wants to request Helena for the program. And Helena's like, well, tough luck. I've been sterilized. So you're going to get no luck out of me. The program is a repopulation program for breeding specific resonances. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so we don't have to deal with that plot line in the story. That's good. That's so good that we don't have to deal with that, because that's my biggest thing of convincing people to read this story.
You thought.
I did think.
Don't worry, they can fix that.
Yeah. Mendel tells us a little story about being used by the faith, or Stroud tells Helena the story of Mendel, which I really like fleshing out the characters, even if we hate them. Mendel just had a pretty tragic life or anything like that, just being constantly ostracized and used and hated for her ability to use vivomancy.
Yes.
So she had nowhere to turn but to the high necromancer and everything. Yeah.
Of course, you're going to go to
the person who says, hey, you shouldn't be shied away from society. You are a blessing.
Right. No, it makes sense. And
fall
like,
for it.
The backing of the... this is a little small tangent, but I love when you do get the... But behind like villains, I love when you get the humanity behind them. I think it's so interesting. I was just talking that I just saw Michael and I thought Colman Domingo's performance as Joseph was so good because you can see he's awful to him, obviously.
Yeah.
He beats his kids like awful. Don't do that. But the way Colman Domingo was able to show kind of the human behind it is so cool. I love it when stories do that.
Because every villain in life is human.
Yeah.
If you think about it. And there's some type of motivation. Like nobody just hates it for the love of the game.
Yeah. I just also think it's so interesting to learn about how people become who they are and why people are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, continue.
And Just stuff like that about how the High Necromancer came to power by just kind of stoking the fires that were already there from mm-hmm. the guilds hating the Principate and the Order, the Eternal Flame.
Yes.
Because, you know, there were so many conflicting things coming out about as new sciences were discovered, with alchemy being, you know, maybe there aren't just eight holy metals. Like, there are so many other ones. No, those are metallic alloys. Those are different from the eight holy metals.
Right.
And they just kept coming up with exceptions. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is the story and narrative you're trying to convince everyone of so strictly?
Yeah.
That's one of the key things.
Boop, boop, boop.
Kane kind of eats with this line right here where perhaps Stroud's wrong and you were sympathetic to our cause because she kept healing people that ended up dying anyways and suffering. He's like, dang, you probably helped us out more than you know.
Yeah.
Jeez. Another key thing for Luke. Some choices had to be made without him. Certain sacrifices had to be made even if he didn't know about them. And that's not how a leader should be. You can't have people moving around you without you knowing things if you want them doing them in your name.
Right.
Luke, love him, but I hate him. Yeah, you know?
No, valid.
And then criticisms. Alchemized definition for alchemization is the most difficult form of alchemy, transferring into a different metal of a higher quality. So for something to be alchemized, it has to essentially be upgraded.
Right.
That's a key thing. It has to be made from one thing into something alchemically better.
Yes.
Which is a very difficult thing to do. So Luke's family has the ability to alchemize gold. Mm-hmm. They can take metals and literally turn them into gold, essentially.
Period.
God tier.
Yeah.
Wish that was me.
Me too.
She keeps interacting with Kane and thinking that, you know, is he a homunculus? Which was a very weird thing. Let me see if I wrote it down. Yeah, so in Paladin beliefs, the female womb is the source of all humanity's flaws. That's a crazy thing. So that's why they were we'll make a homunculus, an artificial human, using just the parts of a man, so like they don't get corrupted in a woman's womb. I'm like, this is insane lore to be building this right now. Yeah. And all you end up—
it's always our fault.
Yes, and I'm just like, this is crazy. Insane.
Yeah.
She sees that he has just a normal iron ring later. Sorry, some of this stuff I just wrote down as it was like written down, but it's going to be a little disjointed sometimes.
But they're just kind of like existing together in spite of itself for
and
right
this
now.
This is all
He's
this
trying
right now.
To do all of these things on her. It's not
breaking into
really
her mind
working.
Little by little.
Yeah, she's very unhappy.
Yeah, she's getting sick from it. Brain fevers little by little. That's why Stroud keeps coming on by.
Yeah.
And
we also
are so far off track on time. That's crazy.
Okay. We come to find out that it's good. We come to find out that she's supposed to be getting fed regularly, but Aurelia is such a bitch that she's not feeding her.
Yeah.
She's feeding her like scraps.
That were that for the necrothralls.
That were for the dead people, which pisses Kane off. And every so often she kind of gets like a little sprinkle in her mind. She's like, why does he care? It kind of seems like he actually does kind of care.
And then she's like, I'm crazy for thinking that.
Yeah. But then she's like, wait, also, do I kind of care? I thought that the way that they built that up was great.
Mm-hmm.
And so cute. And just Aurelia being heinous. And they're kind of just doing that for a while.
And the next transference, because that's what they call it, of the mind thing, she just kind of walks in the chair, like giving up on the fight. She's just like, I don't want to have to deal with this shit
anymore. Yeah, over it.
Gets into her head, bleeding out of her eyes now. She mm-hmm. passes out. She's hallucinating, can't remember anything. She's like, who are you, to this guy sitting next to her bed? And he goes, I'm in charge of your care. Do I know you? I suppose you do. She realizes that she was speaking in Atrician. Different language altogether. Wait. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. About that part.
There's a key memory she has of Luke again that he never went away. Like, he'd never leave any of his friends or anything like that. That's a key thing.
Yeah.
And she first starts thinking about the differences in her culture and how alone and isolated she's always felt. Because she's a very expressive person from her culture. And in Paladia, it's always, like, very still. No emotion at all.
Stoic.
When
do we get to Miss Thing pulling her eye out?
In, like, another few chapters here. Okay. I can skip through a little bit. This is just cool world stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Lumen is the other god. Okay. Lumen is the fifth god. That's what it was. use the first earth for alchemy. This is world building stuff. Use the earth for alchemy. And the great disaster happened with rising tides, raining fires, and resonance came as a result of it. Lumithium creates resonance in people and stuff like that. That's why they have the Lumithium mines and everything. Mm-hmm. And both the moons and everything are the result of all that type of stuff. So we've kind of talked about some of that.
That's so cool.
A guy named Lancaster sneaks on it.
Oh, I was just about to bring him up.
Because now it's the New Year's party or whatever it is. And he's like, Cain was like, don't leave. And then Lancaster sneaks in and he's like, oh, do I know you? And he's like, you don't remember me? That's crazy. Anyways, Cain walks in and is like, hey, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And
him and Aurelia are like,
yeah, Lancaster and Aurelia are having a full on affair.
Which, like, work. Get your bag, I guess.
She's walking around spying at this party right here, trying to see what's going on because she's allowed to walk around. And she sees that there's a net on top of like the top levels of the stairs. And she's like, I wasn't even going to kill myself like this, but I'm mad that he thought I would.
It's so funny.
Damn it.
They like baby proof the house. Yeah. For her.
She's like, this son of a bitch. How did you know that I could have killed myself like that? Even I didn't know I could have done that.
It's so good.
And she just kind of looks on down, seeing the layout of the party and the undying that are there. And at this point, we see two characters that we don't know about yet, but we'll find out that that's Ivy and Sophia are at this party.
I hate that bitch.
And I do too. But two girls are there. One looks just not there at all. One is like very present and watching over her like, you know, a mama bird. Mm-hmm. And is kind of like feeding the other girl and stuff like that, making sure she doesn't wander off too far.
And
it's so sad for Ivy's whole character. And
yeah, it's sad, but I hate Ivy's guts.
We do. But you can sympathize, about what she's been going through. The desperation.
I hate her bad.
A guy named Durant brings in some people to be executed. It's like, these guys are related to the Holdfast. And they're like eighth cousins twice removed. And they're like, we swear. Like,
now, why am I in it?
So Cain's like, all right. And snaps all their neck. And I was like, dude, that sucks. Okay. Yeah. And yeah.
And then Aurelia's getting jealous because she's like, Farron.
Yeah.
She's like, Farron kind of likes you. And I don't really like that. Like, why are he's always spending time with you? I'm his wife. I'm getting pissed off. Mm-hmm. So she gouges her eye out. And it comes out. It's crazy.
That's so much later.
Oh, sorry. Well, we gotta keep moving.
Fine. All right. She wanders around. She finds the cage in the bottom
the cage
room.
In the house.
Aurelia keeps leaving things open to fuck with her. She's being escorted by dead maids the entire time.
Yeah.
She ends up walking out to the stables and seeing a monster in the stables at a later point.
Love
her. Hey, Amaris. Love that girl.
Love her.
She has several different flashbacks throughout this time as well, with dreaming of pieces of crystal in her hand or something like that, which could maybe be obsidian. And Lancaster and Aurelia are always walking around the estate and stuff like that. Stroud keeps calling her an asset, and that's why she's paying so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment a little bit earlier where she finally finds a knife when Cain is walking around with his dad.
A knife!
And it's, no! And they, and Cain's like, what do you have there? What you got there? And she goes, okay. And tries to stab him. It doesn't work at all. So then she tries to cut her own throat instead.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite work. And she goes, this is a great line here. This is why I want to go through it, because there are so many great lines.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll have time in our part two, even though our part two was supposed to be starting.
It's okay.
Halfway through the book.
It's okay. It's a lot to set up.
We're good. Yeah. She's like, why don't you just die? And he goes, prior commitments, I'm afraid.
Baller line.
Fucking,
yeah.
The first part is so much better when you've read the entire story.
Yeah.
Because then you can just be like, dude, Cain is just so sassy this entire
time. Or farming the whole time.
He's so great. Mandel is executed. Or Mandel is killed. Sorry, assassinated. Mm-hmm. When the governor was going to be killed. And they're like, oh, it was a failed assassination. But there was some weird obsidian that killed Mandel. Interesting. Stroud keeps injecting her with stuff. And she's like, why does my lower abdomen hurt? And this is the moment where I was like,
sick. You're like, we're doing it again. I was thinking maybe it was going to happen to
you.
And then I was like, but I feel like it has to, because that's the whole reason why her mind, you know. Crazy.
Of course she's doing fertility injections and trying to get her to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Come on.
Unsterilized.
It's fine. Desterilized. She gets taken before Morrow again in this moment because of the execution, because she realizes in the paper that, you know, a lot of different undying have gone missing, essentially, or just stopped getting mentioned, that are guild members.
Yeah.
Huh. What does that mean? They can't be dying. That's the whole point. They can't die.
Yeah.
So she's brought before Maro and the High Necromancer. And this was such a cool visualization in my mind, where it was him sitting on a throne of bodies that are all Necrothralls. Mandel's former body is in there too. And it's kind of like a life support system in a way.
It's giving like Palpatine.
Palpatine from Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I keep comparing it to Star Wars. But
No. It's good because he's like literally hooked up, like sitting in it. And it's kind of like a full respiratory system for him while the life.
Did you watch the last season of Stranger Things?
Yeah.
It's giving Vecna in the mind flare when he's in the cave with
Finn. Yeah. That's essentially what it is. Yeah,
like uploading.
It's his life support. She sees what she thinks is Titus Bayard's face in there. Right. I'm like, oh, geez.
Mm-hmm. It's so gory. It's so nasty.
This description is so cool. So many of the character descriptions throughout this are so peak. Yeah, they're so spectacular. Mm-hmm. And then Morrow's kind of fed up. He's like, have you any luck finding things out? And Kane's like, not really. And I haven't found the spy. And he goes like, oh, for the love of God. Kane, she's the Animancer. What are you talking about? Your father finally recognized her the last time that he was over.
Yeah.
And said that she was responsible for that big bombing and everything like that. And that's why we always thought it was Hevgos.
Right.
But, and they're like, oh, no, it wasn't Hevgos, which is a different nation that was bombing stuff because Hevgos loves you using bombs. Mm-hmm. And it was her. And then Kane says something, which is good. They must have caught on to him, meaning about Luke, because if Luke didn't know about it, no one else knew about it because of what happens with Luke in part two. And I was like, ain't no way she flat out told us. And then Maro gets way up in her face again about some stuff. And this is where we confirm that he has too many bones. He has like two separate rib cages inside of him.
Nasty.
His fingers are all jotted and everything like that. I'm like, geez, his flesh is rotting off of him.
Yeah.
It's insane. Crowther is ours now, but he must have passed the secret on. Quote unquote, because Crowther apparently found a way to kill the undying, allegedly. Great quote between Helena and Kane. Do you want me to confess? Do you want to? Just them talking right there, which they say a little bit later to each other. Maro, it's revealed, wants to make an animancer. That's the whole point of the breeding program. He wants an animancer to be born. He wants to figure out how to put two souls in the same body without them rejecting each other. And this is the whole point. Mm-hmm. This is what all of it's for. So Maro is officially confirmed to be dying. And what he gets out of making the undying is essentially there's somehow a source of power for him.
You're doing great.
Yes, there's another party right now. The Undying are talking about Central and being a part of the breeding program, disgusting stuff, men talking. But they're also discussing their security plan since the Undying have been dying.
Yeah.
Around Farron. They're like, yeah, Farron, so here's my main security thing. Here's how it's all laid out. And I'm just like, that's so funny.
They have no idea.
That's so funny to me. And then
it's like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. They mentioned something about some frigid bitch out there, which is Ivy that they're talking about. That's what's great. I'm pretty sure it was Ivy.
I hate that bitch.
And then Lancaster gets her. And Lancaster is very clearly revealed because she was thinking that he might be a spy for the Order of the Eternal Flame. Mm-hmm. No, awful guy. Grabs her, starts dragging her out, being like, I got you. I got you. I can fight. Because he's obsessed with her. He's insane.
Really weird.
Crazy guy.
Weirdo.
And so Farron catches him, reaches inside him. She'll never be yours. Rips out his organs. Spectacular. Spectacular time. Because he uses his resonance to do that. That's how he killed Apollo Holdfast, Luke's dad.
Yeah.
Reached inside of him, pulled out his heart.
It's so nasty.
Oh, so cool, though.
It's like once upon
a
time.
So cool. Then this is where Aurelia gets mad, and she plucks out Helena's eye. She's like, he was finally paying attention.
I love it. I just love it when she does that. So I'm like, let's get there.
Yeah, it's such a cool scene.
Yeah.
We'll end part one with Aurelia's sad backstory and the eye getting plucked out and everything. But Aurelia is a very tragic character. I really sympathize with her as well. Because she was the third child born. The first two were stillborns or aborted quickly into the pregnancy because they didn't have an iron resonance. She was essentially made to be Farron's wife because that was the only shot that this family had at getting with high society.
Yeah.
And
that's so sad.
She's tried so hard to be a perfect wife. And she, to be fair, she has done everything right.
Yeah.
She is not at fault for the initial state of everything.
No.
But she gives in to this anger and this hate and everything. And that's when she becomes an awful person. Mm-hmm. She is so detached from everything. She complains about like the dead bodies that they're using as servants. Like, oh, yeah, I always say that we should get new ones. That's killing people to get new servants.
Yeah, she's awful.
So she's through and through corrupted. She's bad. But I do see why she's turned out this way.
Totally. And if Miss Thing came into my house, I would be pissed too.
Because she even says, like, when I first moved in, he just left me here. He just left me at the house and I did everything right. And then I figured maybe he's just like that. Maybe he's not around into anything. You know, he's got all this other alchemy experimentation going on with his life.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just always going to be like that. Nope. Then you show up.
That's what
he's and all of
around
a sudden he's like, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And he's only paying attention to you.
I'd be pissed too. The way, right after she attacks her, the way he like gets her and like, that's crazy.
Metal eye reaching in, the dead people on the other side of the door say Aurelia stuff, and she's like, I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah, and they like everything like grabs her.
The whole room like warps on in because he's out of the house and uses his resonance from a distance to wrap all the metal because the whole room's made of iron and wraps around her
and her bones like crunch
like, under it. Yeah,
crazy. I thought that was a crazy visual.
That was so cool.
Loved it.
And Helena is left essentially sitting there with her eye popped out, looking at Aurelia all crumpled up and knocked out unconscious up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll end part one right now.
Crazy place to end.
Crazy
place
to end.
We gotta do what we gotta do.
We gotta do what we gotta do right now. It'll be so funny in part two when I tell you where we were gonna be ending part one initially. We're gonna be locked in for part two. Stay tuned because part two will be coming out in just a week.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
This is gonna be a quick turnaround.
It's gonna be a quick turnaround for everything, okay? So thank you for tuning into part one. Come back for part two, all right?
Bye. Bye.